Good evening, everyone. You're listening to UR Radio, and our show tonight is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. I'm Louisa Dyer, and I hope you join us every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern as we explore the teachings of various enlightened ones living among us. If you want to know a little bit more about who I am and what my perspective really is, you're welcome to visit my website at louisadyer.com. And in the second half of this show, you can also submit questions or comments through the Facebook page for this show, which is called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And I'll do my best to respond during the show. And if I can't manage the technology, you'll just have to forgive me, and I'll learn how to do that soon. My intention in doing this show is to have a really good time and to share so many tools that are available and pretty easily accessible for most of us so that we can actually learn how to thrive instead of just survive. And if you're on a path of personal growth or spiritual evolution, or if you want a life filled with more joy and peace, then you can actually have it. And what we discuss tonight will hopefully inspire you to begin living that life even more than you have been. And over the next few months, we're going to be exploring the work of some of my favorite teachers, specifically Dr. David Hawkins, Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, and Michelle Wright of Paralandra. They all have websites, and you can get a lot more information about who they are and what they do and all the amazing contributions they make to humanity. The first three of those, Hawkins, Katie, and Tolle, are clearly enlightened beings, and they've decided to stay on the planet to help all of us evolve. And Michelle Wright of Paralandra has developed methods of communicating directly with nature intelligence, which is a lot of the work that I do, and it's incredibly empowering. And it's actually empowering in a whole lot of ways, not the least of which is to greatly improve health and vitality, whether that's physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. And her work, combined with the WOW processing, which is an energy psychology that I helped create, has kept me amazingly healthy for the last decade in spite of numerous bad habits. Although I was sick last week and not here, and so for anyone who wants to be a little smug about their good health, I would say please don't do that. Humility is the best way to go there. So what we're going to actually be talking about tonight is we're going to continue the discussion from last week. We were really talking about David Hawkins and the reality that all truth is knowable. And we spent a good deal of time working with that last time. And we're going to go back over some of that again, and especially how to formulate questions so that you can actually get accurate answers for whatever it is that you are wanting to know, and how to actually be in integrity when you're getting information, because unless you are, well, then you're not going to get accurate answers. And we're also going to look at David Hawkins' map of consciousness, which is an incredible tool and a major contribution to not only human thought and growth and development, but spiritual evolution in and of itself. And what the map of consciousness does is it actually outlines the entire scope of human thought and emotion, and really looks at what spiritual evolution is and how it occurs. And just looking at the chart really increases our understanding. It's incredibly inspiring, and it raises your consciousness just by looking at it. So we're going to explore that a little bit. And then if we have time during the show, we're actually going to look at how manifestation actually occurs. And I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, you create your own reality. And that's something that Hawkins, actually I've never read anywhere anything David Hawkins says, that where he uses that phrase, you can create your own reality. But I have heard him say, you know, what about the reality of reality? And so what we're going to look at here is how manifestation actually does occur and what are the best ways to influence what happens in our lives. And looking at the map of consciousness is really going to help us to understand that better. What Dr. Hawkins is very clear about is that causality doesn't actually exist, that everything that happens in the universe is actually dependent on everything else in the universe. And Hawkins actually says, the belief in cause is a major support of the illusion that one is a separate, self-existent, and independent self, or ego, which is really, as we know, not true. There's only one energy going on in the universe, and we're all part of that same energy, and that same energy is part of all of us. And so David Hawkins really explores that level of consciousness and what that means. I'd like to actually read a quote from the second book in the Power versus Force series that David Hawkins wrote, and that book is called The Eye of the Eye. And on page 110 in that book, here's the quote. In reality, and that's reality with a capital R, by the way, in reality, nothing is causing anything else. Everything is the expression of its own essence and is self-existent. Its appearance is dependent on everything else in the universe and the point of view from which it is observed. Everything is actually self-existence in its reality because everything is part of all that is and has no individual parts, separateness, or independent existence. So that's an incredible lot to take in. But part of what that means is that we cannot make anything happen because we're not in control of anything. Everything is dependent on everything else. However, what we're going to see in the map of consciousness is as we raise our level of consciousness, we have a lot more power. And power actually is what allows things to shift and change. And so since we can't make anything happen, we do have to understand that every thought, every word, every deed affects everything else. And what we know from quantum physics, what's been proven in many different ways, is that what happens externally, what we actually experience going on in our lives and in the world, is primarily a reflection of what's happening internally. And so we have a great deal of power over our own internal experience. We have no control over the external world. And so what we're going to look at is in the map of consciousness, we can see where power is, where power comes from, and that's what we can use. We can use power to actually affect what's happening in our lives and in our world. So for any of you who don't know who Dr. David Hawkins is, let me just say a little bit about him. He is an enlightened being. He is a scientist. He has a list of accomplishments that would take an hour just to read. He's received all kinds of honors from many, many world leaders, and also from Mother Teresa, who acknowledges him as an enlightened being. He's the founding director of the Institute for Spiritual Research, which is in Sedona. And he's lectured widely all over the world, Westminster Abbey, Notre Dame, Harvard, University of California Medical School. He's been instrumental in resolving conflicts all over the world and is very, very well known. He's now in his 80s, and he still keeps a demanding schedule. And people come from all over the world just to be in his presence. And people say that his aura or his radiance has a transformative effect. And I would say that that is true. I had the incredible blessing of meeting and interviewing briefly Dr. Hawkins a number of years ago when I was editing Spirit in the Smokies magazine. And he's one of the only people I've ever met who when you meet him, you literally, it's like you see all the way through him. There is no ego, nothing in the way. And what's even probably more profound is the sensation is that he is also seeing all the way through you. He is not registering really your ego. He sees your essence, your soul. And so you, it's like you rise up in some way to meet that. Was really quite profound meeting him. And what he says about that whole transmission or that transformative effect is he insists that what others actually witness in him is really their own true nature. I guess what Hawkins is most well known for at this point anyway is the series of books he wrote that begins with a book called Power versus Force. And Power versus Force has been translated and published into 25 languages. It has sold millions and millions and millions of copies. And it's done that with no advertising at all. It's all been word of mouth and by people who know Hawkins' teachings and want to learn more about that. And really what Power versus Force does, what that book is really about, is it analyzes the basic nature of human thought, and it explores what consciousness is. It explores consciousness itself from a very enlightened point of view. It's really an incredible book, and big thing that we're really going to focus on here tonight and what we've talked about last week is that what you learn in Power versus Force is how to instantly determine the truth or the falsehood of any statement or supposed fact. And anything is knowable. All truth is knowable. That's an incredible thing to actually think about. And it's knowable through something called kinesiology, which is muscle testing. It's very simple. Muscle testing has been used for a very long time, and it's been well studied and documented for over 30 years as a way to actually tell what's beneficial or not beneficial for the body. Basically, when the muscle stays strong, then whatever it is good for you. When the muscle goes weak, whatever it is not good for you. And Dr. John Diamond actually made a startling discovery that also emotional or mental stuff can make the muscles go weak or strong. For example, a smile makes everyone's muscles stay strong. To say, "I hate you," makes everyone's muscles test weak. And so kinesiology is a really simple muscle test. I'm not going to try to teach you how to do it here, but you can certainly learn how to do that for yourself in a lot of different places. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little music break so that you can think about that reality, that all truth is knowable, and what you might want to know. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about how to know what you want to know and how to use this map of consciousness to tap into the power that we all have available. But first we're going to hear a little music. And what I really want to do with this little musical break is to activate the right side of your brain for a moment, which is a very important activity. And so we're going to do that with a little Rye Cooter, because that's going to help bring the body and the soul into a better flow with each other. So I really hope you enjoy this. We'll be right back. you enjoyed that. That tune really brings a little soul into whatever's going on. And so what I want to do is I want to actually read a quote to you from page 5 in the Power versus Force book by David Hawkins. And it's talking about kinesiology. And I just first want to point out how very simple kinesiology is. I know I did that before the break, but I just want to say that again. It's a very, very simple muscle test that's been well proven and used for many, many years. And basically, it's very simple. You make a true statement. You have something that's beneficial for you. The muscle stays strong. You make a false statement or you're holding something that's detrimental to you, the muscle goes weak. Really, really very, very simple. Most of the time, it takes two people to do kinesiology, although there are ways to do it yourself. With yourself. But let me read you this quote from page 5 in Power versus Force. This is talking about the thousands and thousands and thousands of sort of double-blind studies that have been used to show that kinesiology is actually a valid form of getting information. Quote, "It has been established that test subjects didn't need any conscious acquaintance with the substance or issue being tested. In double-blind studies and in mass demonstrations involving entire lecture audiences, subjects universally tested weak in response to unmarked envelopes containing artificial sweeteners and strong to identical placebo envelopes. The same response appeared in testing intellectual values." And so what that says is that kinesiology is not actually testing the body itself. It's just that the muscles of the body are a good test. What kinesiology is actually testing is the field of consciousness. And everything that's ever been, everything that is or has ever been, imprints the field of consciousness. And so you can tell whether it's beneficial, whether it's true. And so you can learn how to do kinesiology for yourself. You can learn that from the Power versus Force series of books. You can learn it through Michelle Wright's work at Paralandra. If you Google behavioral kinesiology, for example, you're going to get thousands of hits on that. And some of them are schools where that's really all that's taught is how to use kinesiology. A lot of people really like working with a partner. And the benefit of working with a partner instead of just working with yourself is that you can do the double-blind study so you can, you know, just get out of your own way. You're not influencing what the test is saying. Some people prefer working with it on their own. But in order to work with it on your own, you have to really know how to get clear. And that's a lot of what we talked about last week. And I'm going to review some of that in a few minutes. But Dr. Hawkins actually took the whole idea of behavioral kinesiology further than it had been taken before and really got into how it's the field of consciousness, not the body itself, that's actually saying whether something is true or not true, whether it's beneficial or not beneficial. And he actually, once he discovered that you could test the truth of anything with kinesiology, he started doing thousands and thousands of tests. He started testing everything and using thousands of people actually to validate his findings. Much of it was double-blind studies, and just to make sure that it was accurate. And out of that, he actually developed something called the map of consciousness. And with the map of consciousness, I mean, the map of consciousness shows you not only what's true and not true, but it actually shows that you can actually measure the power level of any person, any trait, any teaching, any book, anything at all. You can actually measure the level of power that's in that thing. When I first discovered this work, it was actually quite amazing. I went through my bookshelves, and I decided that I didn't want to have any books that calibrated below a certain level on the map of consciousness. And it was very interesting to me. I got rid of about half of my so-called spiritual New Age books because it turned out that a lot of them didn't even calibrate as true, much less at a higher level of consciousness. And so what I want to talk about for just a minute is the map of consciousness itself, what it is, how you can use it, how it's beneficial. And so the map of consciousness is something that Hawkins created. And his website, by the way, is Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, pub.com. Although I'm sure if you Google David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins, you'll find his primary website. But anyway, what the map of consciousness is it's a scale. It's a logarithmic scale of various emotions, various levels of power, various levels of power held within certain life views. And the consciousness scale really goes from 0 up to 1,000. And 1,000 on this scale, it's just an arbitrary number, but the 1,000 on this scale is actually indicative of the highest level of power that a human being, a human body, can actually hold, whether that's about the nervous system or the physical nature of the body itself, you know, I'm not sure. But so at 1,000 is, you know, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Krishna, the really great avatars throughout human history calibrate up at that very high level of 1,000. Down around the level of 20 is shame. At the level of 200, that's the breaking point, really, in the map of consciousness, because from the level of 200 up is what is registering as true or beneficial. Below 200 is what registers as not true or not beneficial. It's also a measurement of a power level. So at the level of 200, for example, that's the level of courage. It's a level where you can have an emotion of, you know, feeling positive, feeling an affirmation. Your view of life is that, okay, life is feasible. Your view of God at that level of 200 is that God is permitting. And so 200, the process that begins at the level of 200 of consciousness is a process of empowerment. Everything below the level of 200 is actually life negating rather than life affirming. Everything below the level of 200 is actually not true in that it's about force instead of about power. So at 200 is courage. That's the level where truth begins to be available. At 310 is willingness. And at willingness, you begin to have optimism. You begin to think your life view can be hopeful. Like maybe this can be okay. And your view of God at that level of 310, you begin to be able to be inspired by the idea of God, by maybe even a connection with God. And at 310, the process that you use to have power in your life and move yourself forward is the process of intention. When you get up to the level of 400 on this map of consciousness, that's the level of reason. Life becomes meaningful at this point. You begin to understand what's happening instead of just having an emotional response. The level of 500 is love. That's the level where we begin to think of life as benign, that, you know, it's good, there's not bad things, that God is loving. We begin to be able to feel a reverence for life. At 540, that's a very high level, and that's the level of unconditional love. And the emotion there is serenity. That's where we really get to experience joy and feel complete. Not a lot of people, unfortunately, so far in human history, actually get to reach the level of 540. Those that do, we tend to call them saints because of that unconditional love that they embrace and they hold. The level of 600 is actually on this map of consciousness what Hawkins calls the level of enlightenment. And that's the place, that's the internal state where we actually get to experience peace, where we feel bliss, where the process of forward movement is about illumination. We have a sense of God as all, you know, as a oneness, as an all, that we're all part of that. And so when you actually look at the map of consciousness and you see that whenever you're focused on pride, for example, which is at 175, that's life negating, not true. If you're focused in fear, that calibrates at 100. Grief calibrates at 75. Guilt and shame is the bottom of the scale. Guilt calibrates at 30 on this map. Shame is at 20. When we're in shame, the emotion there is humiliation. When we're in guilt, the emotion there is blame. If we're in those states, what that means and what the map of consciousness can help you understand and can help you pull yourself up out of that is when you're in those lower levels of consciousness, you don't have any energy. You don't have power, because power actually begins at the level of 200. And so just by looking at this chart, you can see why it is that for many years, therapists have known that if a client is feeling depressed, if you can get them angry, they're going to do much better. Because you can see on the scale of consciousness that depression, you know, is somewhere down around 20, 30, 50, down in that area. Anger is at 150. 150 on this scale of consciousness, this map of consciousness, is way high compared to shame. So if you can come up out of depression into anger, you've really raised your level of consciousness a great deal. And if you can raise yourself from anger up and to find a little bit of pride, which is at 175, you've come up even higher. And it's not really hard from pride to actually find some courage to do something different, to reach for something more. And if you can find the courage to be willing, willingness is at 310 on this chart. The moment you can find the courage to be willing, your upward journey has really started. And so this map of consciousness is an incredible tool just to look at and ponder, because it really shows you how to move yourself up from lower levels of energy up into higher levels of energy, which means higher levels of truth, but also power, because everything on this map above 200 has power in it. Everything below that, below the level of 200, requires force, which is very different than power. You know, power sustains itself. Force has to be forced. It takes effort. It takes energy. And so that's the map of consciousness. And I really wish I could give you an image of this. But again, you can find this on Hawkins' website. And it's really quite amazing because it shows you the energy level in all these different emotions. It shows you how to raise your own internal state of consciousness. It shows you how to do that bit by bit. It shows you how to do that just in one great big leap. It shows you where power is, and it shows you where power isn't. And so it's quite an amazing tool just to be able to work with this map of consciousness. And so just to sort of summarize that again, I'm going to tell you that what the map of consciousness has on it is the level of like your internal state, and it correlates that with an emotion, and it correlates both of those with a level of power. And so I want you to think about that. We're going to take another little musical interlude here, and I want you to just think about all truth is knowable, and not only is all truth knowable, but the power that actually is in a particular teaching, in a particular book, in a particular song, the power level within that thing is also knowable. And when we pay attention to and focus on things that have a lot of power, it raises our own consciousness level. So think about that while we take a little musical interlude. I think we're going to hear a little Alicia Keys, and the title of the song is Girlfriend. Enjoy. Feel this way around you and her. You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer, and we're here until 9 Eastern with Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. For those just joining us, we're discussing the teachings of Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote the Power vs. Force trilogy. And we've been looking at his map of consciousness. And basically, just to review that a little bit, what the map of consciousness really does is it shows you the level of energy or power that's available in various life views, and the corresponding emotion that happens with those life views, and the level of consciousness in various states of being. And basically, it's from 0 to 1,000 is the scale, and everything above 200 is life-affirming, positive, whereas everything below 200 is life-draining, not positive, not true, actually detrimental. For example, shame calibrates at a level of 20, and the emotion that goes with that is humiliation, and the life view is miserable. At the level of 100 is fear. The emotion that goes with that is anxiety, and the life view is frightening, with a view of God that is actually quite punitive. And desire, as in addiction or lust, calibrates at 125 on that scale. Anger calibrates at 150. Pride calibrates at 175. Courage is the breaking point. That's where you begin to be true instead of false. Life affirming instead of life negating. Courage or truth is a level of 200. And it has a life view of feasible, meaning that, you know, okay, I can do this. This is feasible. And the process here is one of empowerment, meaning once you can tell the truth, once you have the courage to tell the truth or to know the truth, then you are actually becoming empowered. 400 on the scale of consciousness is the level of reason, understanding. The view of life is meaningful. And the view of God is that God is wise. At 500 is the level of love. At 540 is the level of unconditional love. That's where we can begin to have a view of God as one. 600 on this map of consciousness is where enlightenment happens. At that level, there is no more ego. The inner state is peace. If there is an emotion, it's bliss. And those are where all our saints and our sages, you know, whenever people talk about becoming enlightened, they're talking about living in that state where there is no more ego. Eckhart Tolle, David Hawkins, Byron Katie, there are three people that, three teachers that very clearly are at that level of enlightenment and beyond. And the level of 1,000 on this scale is the highest level that the human body anyway can actually tolerate, and that's pure consciousness. And so what the map of consciousness does really is it shows how each progressive rise in the level of consciousness, the frequency or the vibration of energy actually increases. So we have more power. And because this is a logarithmic scale instead of an arithmetic scale, even to go up 1 point is like 1 to the 10th power. So even to move your state of consciousness up 1 point is a major improvement. And actually what David Hawkins says is that the average human being raises their consciousness level 5 points over a given lifetime. However, he also says that just reading Power versus Force or, other really enlightening and inspiring books written by enlightened ones raises your consciousness level many points. So it really is up to us. And what's very clear from the research that Hawkins has done is that higher consciousness, the higher you are in this map of consciousness, the higher where your energy field or your frequency or your vibration resonates, that higher consciousness radiates a beneficial and healing effect. It does this for yourself. It does this for the world. It does this for people around you. And that is actually verifiable in that human muscle response that we call kinesiology. And it stays strong in the presence of love and truth, and it goes weak in the presence of non-true or negative energy fields. Anything that calibrates below the level of 200 on this map of consciousness will get a weak muscle response. So if we can have courage, which calibrates at a level of 200, and willingness, which calibrates at a level of 310, which is where we tap into optimism, it's all we ever have to do. If we can be willing to know the truth, then anything can happen, because we have actually tuned ourselves into the willingness and the power for anything to happen. I want to read a quote again from Hawkins' second book, The Eye of the Eye. It's on page 43. And this is about having courage and willingness. And it's actually under the heading of the emancipation of humanity. Before a new direction is sought, it is necessary to discern the error of the old and awaken a desire to transcend that error. This requires courage and fearless honesty. The recovery from many serious and incurable, potentially fatal disorders is based on the willingness and capacity to face the truth and choose a different pathway. To break down denial and admit the truth takes one above the critical line of integrity at 200. The moment we become willing to know the truth, the minute we're willing to face it, the willingness itself takes us way beyond the level of truth at 200, all the way up to 310. And at the level of 310, we suddenly have the capacity to tune into optimism, to be hopeful, to be inspired. And that's really what begins that journey into higher consciousness. So first, we have to be willing to know the truth. And we talked last week a good bit about how to actually find out the truth. And the way we do that is through kinesiology. But in order to actually know the truth, you have to be able to present a question in such a way that you're going to get accurate answers. So I just want to review that really quickly, what it is to, how it is to present a question so that you're likely to get an accurate answer. And first of all, the important thing is to actually present a statement rather than a question. And it always has to be in the present tense. You can find out anything about anything that is or has ever been. You cannot ask about the future. Well, you can ask about the future, but you're not going to get an accurate response. And the short answer for how come that's so is because the future does not exist. So to focus on what doesn't exist, first of all, is insane. Second of all, you're not going to get any accurate information because you're focused on what doesn't exist. So make a statement rather than ask a question. Make sure it's in the present tense. And there can be no form of should, need, or not in your question because they don't exist. Those are made-up constructs of the ego. And so you can't say, should I do this? I should do this. Should. It doesn't exist. You have to actually present the question in terms of, this is true, this is beneficial, this is actually benefits me relative to that. You have to figure out how to formulate the question so there is no form of should or need or not in the question, because it simply does. None of those exactly. They don't exist. And the other thing that you have to be in integrity when you're asking the question itself has to be in integrity, meaning the question cannot be coming from greed or fear or lust or deception or any attempt to control, because that's not in integrity. And if you have an attachment to the answer instead of actually wanting to know the truth, if you want to know what, if you want to get an answer that validates an opinion you have, then you have an attachment. And so the best way around that is to begin everything when you're going to use kinesiology with the statement, I release all fear in knowing the truth. I release all fear in knowing the truth. Because unless you can do that, then you have an attachment. And if you have an attachment to the answer, you're not in integrity. And so it's going to be very difficult to get an accurate answer if you have attachment. If two people are working kinesiology together, then it's easier because one person can just hold it in mind, the other person can test, and it can sort of be like a double-blind study. You don't even know what's being asked. And so it's easier to get out of your own way and not have attachment when you don't even know what the question is. Consciousness knows what's being held in mind. And so if you want to know how to get accurate information, those are the basic ideas of how to do that. Working with the map of consciousness really makes you understand that in a very sort of concrete way, because all those things, greed, lust, domination, attachment, should, need, not, those ideas of fear, basically, those correlate with force. And that's everything that calibrates below the level of 200 on the map of consciousness. Force is temporary. It consumes energy. Power, in contrast, is self-sustaining. It's permanent. It's stationary. And it's invincible. So if you're actually asking a question from a place of power, you're going to get a very different quality of answer than if you're trying to force an answer from a place of something that is below the level of 200. And so we're talking about all this to say that, okay, so Hawkins is very clear that nothing causes anything else. Everything affects everything, and nothing causes anything. So how then do we manifest more of what we want and less of what we don't want? That's the other way that the map of consciousness really helps understand that. The more power you have, the happier you are, the more things in your external environment reflect a higher state of consciousness going on inside of you, the more things are happening that you like to be happening instead of you don't like to be happening. And so really studying that map of consciousness gives us a really clearer idea of how to manifest more of what we don't, manifest more of what we want and less of what we don't want, because it's about power. I'm going to actually read a quote. This is also from The Eye of the Eye. And this gives us an idea of what manifestation really is about. And in The Eye of the Eye, Hawkins says on page 30, spiritual evolution occurs as the result of removing obstacles and not actually acquiring anything new. Devotion enables surrender of the mind's vanities and cherished illusions so that it progressively becomes more free and more open to the light of truth. And so when we are more free and more open to the light of the truth, basically that means we have more power. And as we have more power, then we tune into what is. And on page 9 of The Eye of the Eye, let's see if we can make that even more clear. Everything is manifesting its inherent potentiality as determined by its essence and prevailing conditions. The splendor of all things is that by their very existence, they manifest the glory of God's creation as existence itself. By virtue of merely being, each and every sentient and non-sentient thing that exists is fulfilling the will of God. It is because of divine intention that the unmanifest becomes manifest. Creation is the name of the process that we witness. So what's actually being said there is that everything is manifesting its essence, its existence. And every loving or compassionate thought that we have uplifts us and the whole world around us. And fortunately, it also, every loving thought outweighs thousands of negative thoughts. So we're very blessed in that way. That there is a huge difference in power versus force. Power is self-sustaining. Force requires effort. So one positive thought naturally leads to another positive thought. And another positive thought naturally leads to an even higher positive thought. And the more power that we have inside of us, the higher on this scale of consciousness that we allow our own state of being to be, then the more power we have in affecting everything around us. And so it's sort of a silly statement to say that the way to be happy is to be happy. I mean, that sounds foolish, but that's actually the truth. If you want to be happy, you focus on happiness. If you want to be sad, you focus on sad. The good news is, the moment you focus on anything positive, you are literally raising your level of power and allowing yourself to focus even more on that. And we're almost out of time here, which just amazes me how fast this actually goes, because I really wanted to talk a whole lot more about manifesting and how we do that. And really the way we do that is by taking responsibility for our own state of consciousness and focusing on the highest level, the highest energy that we're capable of focusing on. And there's a really wonderful quote here that I'd really love to read that really talks about the difference between power and force and how it is that everything manifests, whether that's your state of health or whether that's a new career or a new relationship. I'm going to quote here from page 107 in The Eye of the Eye. In reality, everything occurs of its own, with no exterior cause. Everything and every event is a manifestation of the totality of all that is, just as it is in any given moment. In reality, everything is automatically manifesting the inherent destiny of its essence. It doesn't need any external help to do this. With humility, one can relinquish the ego's self-appointed role as savior of the world and surrender it straight to God. The world that the ego pictures is a projection of its own illusions and arbitrary positionalities. No such world exists. Remember that the spiritual journey requires the relinquishing of all beliefs and attitudes in order to create space for reality to shine forth. And I think that's really where we're going to close. We're going to close on that note, what David Hawkins has called the reality of reality. Reality is what it is. Everything is manifesting in divine order. If we vibrate of love and power and truth within ourselves, then what's going to be reflected around us is that love and that truth and that power. If we're vibrating at a level of, you know, negativity, whether that's grief or despair or anger or pride, then what we're going to experience in ourselves and around us is that level of energy reflected back to us. And so we always have power in every moment to choose, you know, what Abraham, the teachings of Abraham, what they would say is to choose the next higher thought, you know, the next higher emotion. So no matter where you are in terms of what your inner state is, what you first have to do is admit the truth of where you are. If you feel badly, you have to admit you feel badly before you can be willing to let it go. If you pretend you feel great when you don't, you will never feel better because you can't release it until you own it. So admit where you are. Tell the truth about where you are. That automatically brings you up to a level of 200 and begins to give you power. Once you tell the truth about where you are, you own it. If you can just become willing to reach for something that feels better than that, then you're on your way to feeling better. You're on your way to a new state of consciousness. And that's really the key, and that's what I'm going to leave us with here tonight. Courage and willingness. With those two traits, with those two energies, we cannot do anything except move forward. Our consciousness will automatically raise. We automatically move into more power, a higher state of being, and a greater sense of happiness and joy. And so that's the key. Courage to admit what's true and the willingness to reach for something that feels better than wherever you are. The courage to face the truth, the willingness to move forward. And so I'm going to leave you with that thought, and we're going to close with the same thought song that we began with, which I believe is going to be the theme song of the show, which is Here to Hear, an incredible consciousness rocking group, and one of my favorite songs by them, which is called Time for a Change. And you might want to stand up and do a little bit of dancing. And I'm going to come back after this, and we're going to hear some great music. And I just want to remind everybody you're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer. The show is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And we're here every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern. I look forward to seeing you next time. Take good care.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all their jets? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. Can change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see. It's time for change. It's time for change. Where my farmers at? My corporations at? Where my scientists and pharmacists, my dealers at? Where my mothers at? Where my father's at? Where my human beings with beating hearts? Let's rock this track. I know that we can do it. We can do change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see. I know that we can do it. We can change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see. Where my Jews?